So in our last class, we saw this. Where this I, the self, shines in all different states, whether it is childhood, adulthood, whether it is waking, deep sleep, or any other states, whether it is in different ashrama, different relationship with the objects, different relationship with people. What is known is that the relationship, these avasthas, these states, they themselves are different. But in all of them, anuvartamanam, the self is in all of them, existing as Sat Chit Ananda. So as we go through each state, we are aware of the existence. We are aware that I am there. But then there is also this knowledge of each state. So we understand that each of these states, they change. And in each of the states, we get ananda also. So I'm aware of those ananda also. So like that, this aham, the Satchidananda Swarupa, is the one that pervades through all the states. Therefore, it is one Satchidananda and all the different avasthas. And this, my guru, Bhagavan Dakshinamurti, that Brahman, is teaching, revealing this knowledge through the special mudra, the Jnana mudra, which is the auspicious knowledge, and Swatmanam Prakati Karoti. He reveals himself. So when Bhagavan reveals himself means Bhagavan reveals the nature, which is that truth. So I am that supreme is what is the realization by this. That is bhakta, by the devotee, by that seeker, sadhaka. So that realization to that guru is my frustration. That is what the shloka was all about. Now, next shloka, number 8, is the last shloka which focuses on the Vedanta aspect. Then shloka number 9 and shloka number 10 are basically in praise. 9 is in praise and then 10 is the phalashruti. What do you get out of it? Those who chant this Dakshinamurti from those who understand, what do they get? So that is spoken in 10. So therefore, this is the last shloka which explains the Jnana, the Vedanta knowledge. And this shloka is somewhat similar to shloka number 1. We'll see also how that is similar. But before that, let's chant and then we will look at the meaning. Vishwam pashyati karya karanatayam. Swaswami sambandhatah shishyacharya taya tathaiva pitruputradhyatmanabhedatah swapne jagrati vaya esha purusho Maya paribhramitah tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. Vishwam Pashyati Karyakaranataya Swaswami Sambandhataha Shishyacharyataya Tathaiva Pitruputradhyatmanabhedataha Swapne Jagrati Vaya Esha Purusho Maya Paribhramitaha Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. We go to line number 3, where it says, Yaha Purushaha. Yaha Esha Purusha. That's how the line goes. But you look at Yaha Purushaha. So Yaha Purushaha is referring to that Paramatma, that supreme divinity, that nature of the sun, who is Purusha, one who resides in as a very life source. So our scriptures, they explain who is this Purusha. They say that this Purusha is the one who manifests as this entire creation. But in its reality, it is non-transactional. It is, this Purusha is Advaya, Ajaraha, Amaraha, like that. But then when he creates, he enters the creation. So tat srishtva tad eva anupravishat. That's how the scripture goes. So this Purusha, he creates this creation and then he enters the creation. So there when he enters the creation, it is not like we enter in our room. When we enter in our room, what is the presumption? Is you are not in the room. Then only you enter the room, right? So there's a presumption that you are not there and then you enter. But that's not the meaning here. When this Purusha, he creates and then he enters. Because when he creates, he's also present in the creation. The creation cannot be separate from the creator, this Purusha. So what is the entering means? So entering means that he enlivens that creation, gives the ability, gives the transactional value to the creation. So this Purusha, how creates this transactional value is explained in this shloka. So Yaha Purusha, this Paramatma, this Supreme Self, is Maya Paribhramitaha, Esha. Esha, in Sanskrit we say, is this. So where is this Purusha? Don't look at this Purusha as somewhere else. This, it's very near to me. In Sanskrit, we say that. And for the word that, we say is saha. So when we say saha, is distant from me. And when we say eshaha, close to me, near me. So where do you find this Purusha? You find it very near to you. So eshaha, this Purusha, is maya paribhramita. Is paribhramita, is fully deluded. There's no amount of discrimination between the real and non-real. In that way, it's completely submerged in this creation. By what? So Maya. So by Maya, this Purusha is completely entered into this creation. Meaning becomes deluded. Swapne Jagrativa. And when is he deluded? In Swapnavastha and in Jagratavastha. Which makes sense. It's describing all of our life only. We are that Purusha, that self, but not knowing that self, we have become deluded by this power of Maya. Maya Paribhramataha, in which states? Swapne, Jagrati. Swapna and Jagratavastha. Swapnavastha we're not, because in Swapnavastha there is no presentation of world of me. So mind is completely subdued. There is no knowledge only of the world. So therefore there is no Brahma. To go to deep sleep is not Brahma. But to see something else instead of something, that is Brahma. In waking world, when we are seeing something, but instead of looking at the reality, we all of a sudden think about something different. You may be watching something on TV, and all of a sudden you're reminded about yourself. It suddenly happened. It was so funny. The other day, I was at work and we were discussing about Zoom meeting and setting up calls and everything. And in the middle of the conversation, I realized that I was supposed to schedule a meeting with another client. And I forgot to do that. And right in front of this person, I just jumped out and I said, "Oh my God." And he got shocked. He said, "What happened?" Oh, I totally forgot that I was supposed to make a conference call, meeting setup for this client. So anyways, this is what happens. World is doing something and we are in our world and then we forget about other things. So this is what Brahma is. That something is there in front of us. We don't recognize the reality of it and we see something different. So what is there in front of us? Everything is Satchidananda Swarupa. But not recognizing that it is Satchidananda Swarupa, we give it as Nama and Rupa. That this is this object, this is that object, this is my object, this is their object, this is Brahma. Then we create. So this can only happen in Swapnavastha and Jagratavastha. Because in deep sleep state, there's no ego to do this transaction. And doing this, what does this jiva do? This jiva, then the first two lines are basically describing what this person does in the Brahma. So what does he do? Vishwam Pashyati. He sees the world. So, because of the delusion caused by the Maya, he sees the world. But in which way does he see the world? So, the different ways that he sees the world that is explained is Karya Karanataya Vishwam Pashyati. So when he sees the world, he says, this is the cause, this is the effect. Without the cause, there cannot be the effect. And because there is a cause and effect relationship, that means it is real. That is the biggest Brahma that we are all in, we're all living in. Cause and effect makes us believe that the world is real. How so? The cause, let's just take one example. I'm sure everybody has had their dinner now. So the cause is food and the effect is satisfaction. So now that satisfaction makes us feel complete. It makes us feel that I am now full. But the Brahma here is, it is only satisfied the body's desire to continue its movement, to continue its strength, energy. That's all the food did. So food never contented me. It only gave the satisfaction to the agitation of the body. But what did I do? I took that agitation upon me and I said, that is my nature. So I am hungry. I need food and I should have enough. And this is cause and effect. And like that, we see cause and effect in everything. If there is no cause and effect, we get scared. How could that be? Somebody just comes and puts something in your office or in your room. All of a sudden, you know, you see that your clothes or your favorite watch, iPad, iPhone, is not in its place. It has been moved to someplace else. You will say, well, who moved this? Lord is looking for that cause. Who caused this to be away from here? But we never realized that I was myself, just had put it somewhere else. We were looking for that cause, somebody else did it for me, did this to me. So this Brahma makes us see the world with cause and effect relationship. Then it also makes us see the world with Swa Swami Sambandhataha. Swa, me, the, not me, the possessed, that which we can control. And Swami is the possessor. So this bhava of possessed and possessor, that relationship is also one thing that we see. Objects, because I was able to purchase with my money, I say, it is mine. I am the owner of this. The house is mine. The car is mine. I mean, to an extent, it makes sense that, okay, fine, I purchased it so I can have that for it. But then we just take it to a far extent. Children, mine, I have an ownership of them because my name goes behind them. So I say I'm an owner. At least in mentally we say that. But you know, the Western world that we live in has given a very good viewpoint to the world. That whose Swami are you? First, we should become our own Swami. We should control our own mind, intellect, and body. Then worry about controlling the world. But this is very natural. This Brahma allows us to see anything that has come about from my endeavor, I automatically consider that to be my possession. So swaswami sambandhataha, then shishya acharyataya. This is my guru, I am the student. So again, a relationship where the guru who is teaching and the shishya who is learning. One is filled with avidya, karya, karana, swaswami sambandha, is filled with avidya. And then shishya acharya, a relationship filled with vidya. One is making us stay in samsara. And the other is liberating us from the samsara. But both of them are maya only. This is the greatness of the shloka, that even the transaction where the guru is giving the knowledge to the shishya about the Vedanta, which will liberate the shishya, that knowledge or the transaction of knowledge also is maya paribhramita. It's completely delusional, because guru can never teach a shishya. Why guru can never teach a shishya? Because the self is already known. So guru cannot teach to shishya what the self is. Guru only points towards the nature of the self, and the shishya picks that up. So it is the shishya's complete responsibility and not of guru's. Cannot say, guru, you did not show me. Guru showed everything. But the mentality, the subtlety of our mind, it depends then whether we understand or we do not understand the self. So shishya acharya sambandha also. And finally, pitru tatha. Tata, anything else, anything other than that you can consider that you know of, along with pitru and putradi. Pitru, father, putra, son. So a relationship of father and son. Again, there you have swaswami sambandha also. But it is talking about the relationships in this world. So not only just one relationship of son and father, but it can be any relationship. Brother, sister, mother, daughter. But all of these relationships, all of these things that the person sees, Vishwam Pashyati Atmana Bhedataha, sees oneself different from all of this. So the Purusha, who is the self, sees oneself different from its nature, and therefore sees everything different. To this Purusha, who is deluded, tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye, Shri Dakshina Murtaye, idam namah. So not to the deluded self that Adi Shankaracharya ji is giving prostration to, but who acts as deluded. This Purusha is not really deluded, but acts as though is deluded, because the force of Maya is there. To that, Dakshinamurti Bhagavan is this prestige. Now, as I said, the meaning is clear thus far, whatever the idea is conveyed in. Yes? What the shloka is trying to say is that the self is one's nature. But because of the Maya power, the self enters this creation as being deluded. Then only entering is possible. Because how can one enter that which one already is present? There's no entering. So the entering happens is where there's a special appearance as this Maya Paribhramta, as one who is now appearing as deluded by this Maya. And where is he deluded? In the state of waking and in the state of dream. And as he's deluded, what does he see? What does this person see? So see is cause and effect relationship. See is the owner and owned relationship. See is guru shishya relationship, father son relationship. So all different things this person sees, but sees as atmana bhedata, separate from oneself. To this Dakshinamurti Bhagavan is this prostration. Now to this topic, as I was mentioning in the beginning, this shloka is connected to the first shloka, is where this shloka talks about the idea of there's something called as Drishti Srishti Vada. I don't remember if we discussed about it. But there are two types of Vada. Vada basically means schools of thought, way of thinking. Vada doesn't mean a dialogue or a conversation, but Vada here basically means is school of thought, way of seeing the creation. So I'll explain these two vadas and then we'll see how this is the Drishti Srishti Vada. And that is also the first shloka, which talks about Drishti Srishti Vada. Okay, so first the easier one that we will take, because, you know, I remember in the beginning, everybody was saying, this is so difficult, this is so difficult. Dakshinamurti Sutram is just so hard to understand. Well, because Dakshinamurti Sutram started off with talking about the Drishti Srishti Vada, which is why it is difficult. Okay, so first, what is Srishti Drishti Vada? So make sure you have it separated. Okay, first is Srishti. Srishti, creation. Drishti, what is seen? So Srishti Drishti Vada says, there is a Srishti. There is a Brahmaji who created this creation and created all the beings, all the objects, and made me interact with all these objects. So therefore, the computer that I see, the book, the people, my work, my other things that I hold true to, all of them are the creation. They are real. And therefore, my interaction with them is also real. This is the idea of Srishti Drishtiva. So as the creation, so I see the creation. Now, obviously, we know from Vedantic standpoint that this viewpoint is flawed. From Vedanta, correct? From ignorant standpoint, everything is fine. This is the nature of life. This is what we do. We don't need somebody to tell us how we should live. This is what life has to be about. So true, but Vedanta is explaining that in this samsara, then you have this up and down of joy. There is sometimes sukha, sometimes dukkha, sometimes sukha, sometimes dukkha. And in order to come out of this, one has to do sadhana. One has to do chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata. And then shravan, manan, nididhyasana. And like that, lead the life to reach that state of self-realization. So scripture gives us a methodical way to disengage from the srishti. And the methodology is, by cultivating chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata, one develops sadhana chatushtaya. So viveka, vairagya, shat sampatti, mukshutva. This is what we are doing. So what are we saying? Yes, the world is real. But this world, which is so real, I don't need to be so attached to this world. I have to learn to detach from it so then I can become attached to the self. So I have not said something that is new to you all. Everybody should be nodding and saying, yes, we understand this. This is very easy stuff. This is what the so many years of Vedanta that we have been studying. That is what it is. Yes. This is Srishti Drishtivada. Sometimes it is also called as Bahu Jeevavada. Because this philosophy considers I am a Jeeva, and likewise, there are all the other Jeevas also. Everybody else who are Jeeva. Now we go to the tougher one. Drishti Srishtivada. There are not that many people who think in this Drishti Srishtivada way. And likewise, there are not that many scriptures written that describe Drishti Srishtivada. There is one great Upanishad, which is Mandukya Upanishad. Focuses fully on this Drishti Srishtivada. And Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi is a very classic example of Drishti Srishtivada. So what is Drishti Srishtivada? Drishti Srishtivada says, Drishti, what I see is the creation. Meaning, creation is not external to me. So what about the mountain that I see? You are saying that the world is not external to me. What is the mountain that you see? Where is the mountain? You show me, where is the mountain? Say, okay, look there, right there. Yeah, there, right there. But where are you seeing the mountain? Are you seeing it external or are you seeing it internal? Can you see the mountain without your mind being present? No. So, in order for me to have vision of the world, mind is required. Therefore, what is the creation? Creation is my mind. So I alone am. There's only one self. Other than me, there is nothing in this creation. Anything that I perceive is a projection of the mind. And it is not external to me, it is all internal. So because all of this is internal to me, creation is not there at all. There is no creation. This vada is also called as Eka Jiva Vada. There are not multiple jiva. The fact that I am seeing Vishwa means my mind is disturbed. When I settle this mind, there is no Vishwa. This is the idea of drishti srishti vada. So then what kind of sadhana can you do to reach the self? So Ramana Maharshi says in Upadesha Sara, ahamayam kuto bhavati chinvataha. So where is this aham? And when you inquire into this aham, this I, this ego, this mind, it falls. So what is the sadhana to be done here? I don't need to do chitta shuddhi. I don't need to develop vairagya. I don't need to do shat sampatti, mukshutva. None of it is required. I don't have to do shavana, manana, nidhyasana. Why didn't we know this about before? We would have started off with this path only. It is not so easy. It is not so easy. Because this path requires a subtlety. Our mind has to be very pure to grasp this idea about the mind being the cause for samsara. And what happens is, because our mind is sthula, it automatically appreciates the tangible object that we touch, feel, cause and effect relationship, swaswami, sambandha, guru, shishya, acharya, all of these things. So subtlety of mind is required. So what is the sadhana? The sadhana is question this very I. Question this very I, who are you? Manasam tu kim margane krite. Naiva manasam marga arjavat. So basically you are asking the mind, who are you? And the moment you question the mind, who are you? Mind falls away. Mind goes away. There's no answer. You don't get an answer. I am the jiva. I am the ahankara. You don't get any answer. mind becomes completely silent. And when this mind becomes completely silent, you are left with your own self. You're left with this nature. So when it said, Vishwam Nijantargatam, first shloka, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Nijantargatam. So Vishwam is Nijantaha. It is within me. Where is this world? Within me. How? Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam. Like the reflection of that city is this creation, this Vishwa. So I'm not searching external, I'm just searching within. And when I question, there's nothing but the self alone. So here, the same idea is presented by saying that this Purusha, Yaha Purushaha, Maya Paribhramitaha Esha, who is deluded by the Maya. But deluded by the Maya doesn't mean that he is truly deluded. He is as though behaving deluded. Then he sees the world with all of these transactions, all of these differences. To this Dakshinamurti, Bhagavan, to my guru, is this prostration. All right, so we have about 13 minutes or so. I'm sure there are questions. So please go ahead.
Dhiranji, you had mentioned the transactional value at the beginning. Can you, I understood the point about Purusha is the one who creates this world. So there is no actual entry, like we enter into a new room. But yet, I think you call it that this is done for transactional value. Can you elaborate on that, please? What is the transactional value?
What I was trying to explain was that this Purusha is the Satchidananda Swarupa, who is unborn, untouched, everything. But this Purusha enters the creation. The first word is the creation. He first creates and then he enters the creation. Tat Srishtva, meaning this Jagat Srishtva, Tadeva Anupravishta. Then he enters the creation. So when this Purusha enters the creation, the Purusha gives the creation a transaction capability. So when he enters, that special entrance he gives is in the form of this transactional capability. With the help of Maya. Because if the Maya is not there, then Purusha cannot transact. Because Purusha is Ajaha, Amaraha, Avyayaha. So therefore, Nityaha cannot have transaction at all. So in order for it to do that, this Pravesha that we are talking about, this entrance, that entrance is a special appearance of this Purusha. You know, we can think of it like a theater. Everybody knows that the person who is going up, because we all know, like when we see Balvihar presentation by our children, they dress up. But when they enter the stage, It's not like we are mesmerized that we don't know who this person is. So new kid only cannot know. Parents know, but they are in awe by looking at the new appearance of that child on the stage. Right? Likewise, this Purusha, everybody knows, but its special appearance is in this way, which is Maya Paribhramta. That is what I was trying to get at with the transactional capabilities. Hemaji?
So I'm trying to understand that deluded mean. Is that the deluded happens only people who are not realized? Because in the verse one, it says that this world is inside me and it's a manifestation, not actually, there. But then it's the Maya which is projecting. So when in this verse, when it says, the Purusha is completely deluded by Maya, is it really how we feel because we are ignorant?
In the first one, and please do elaborate again what you have said, if I don't answer it correctly. In the first loka, when it said that Bahihi Iva Ujrumbhati. So it projects it outside Iva, as though it projects it. So as though it causes us to believe that there is a world outside, but there is no world outside, it is all inside. This is how that first shloka is going. And here also this idea is that this Purusha is seen as, he is not changing. The Purusha is not becoming deluded. The Purusha is seen as deluded. Who? Because he is a guru. So I'm not saying, Adi Shankaracharya is not saying that his guru is deluded, but his guru is seen as deluded, transacting in this world as deluded. But from within, he is this Purusha.
So in the verse one, it is like we are seeing the world outside as if it is projected by, like we are deluded by Maya, right?
Yes, we are deluded by Maya. So we.
But see, here it says the Purusha itself is deluded. That's why I'm confused.
So the way that it is laid out, it seems like that the Purusha is deluded, but it is not. Yaha Purusha Maya Paribhramitaha Eshaha, who is deluded by Maya. That is how the sentence structure is. But this delusion of this Purusha is mere an appearance. So this appearance is then carried out as Vishwam Pashyati, Karya Karanataya, and all that. So the idea basically is that the Purusha is not deluded. The Purusha appears as deluded because of the Maya. So Brahman cannot get deluded. That's the point. Because Maya is in the hands of Brahman. Meaning, Maya is Brahmashraya. So, if the Purusha, if Sachidananda Swarupa, Paramatma gets deluded, then we have no way out of Maya. Then Maya becomes the nature. That is scary. If Maya becomes our nature.
So one more question. Is this Dakshinamurti Stotram is like the first verse is similar to like Drishti Srishtivada, right? In this.
Yes.
So then the solution for us is also based on what you described, what is explained by Ramana Maharshi.
Yes. So there the solution basically is you just inquire. Inquire into this delusion. And the moment you inquire into delusion, delusion goes away. It's very interesting and at the same time, quite scary also how it works. Anytime you're disturbed, you try this. At the time that you are disturbed, question yourself, who is disturbed? And try to catch this mind that is disturbed. And that moment you will see, your thoughts will stop. There'll be a complete silence. And if you can stay in that silence, it will be liberating. And also at the same time, it will be scary. Whoa, what just happened? I was so disturbed. All of a sudden, I'm calm. How did that happen? All we did was we shut down the agitation of the mind.
I had a question, if you have time, on the previous one, previous to slow, related to previous to slow.
Yeah.
So that pratyabhijna, you explained a couple of times, the way to understand is, when one wakes up from the deep sleep, that is a very good way of understanding what is pratyabhijna. And also in the samadhi state, it is there. Is this pratyabhijna there throughout? Like from the birth till, throughout that experience that I am understanding that I am the one who was there in my childhood, who is there now, or is it limited only for in the deep sleep stage and samadhi stage?
Pratyabhijna is combining the experience with our remembrance. So that will always be there. It doesn't have to be specific to waking up from deep sleep state. If I say that I remember Hemaji, the same sweatshirt that you had worn when we had seen each other at Yamnath. The moment I say that, there's a pratyavignya. The pratyavignya there is that I remember you from Yamunotri with the same sweatshirt as now. So that past experience is matched with the remembrance in the present. So anytime that happens, it doesn't have to be in deep sleep state only, meaning waking from deep sleep to, going from deep sleep to waking state. It doesn't have to be just that. It can happen in waking state itself.
So that is different from when I remember something that happened in the past. There is a thought in my mind, like a picture of something. Now, if I remember Yamunotri, the picture comes to my mind. That is from Chitta, right? That is, how is it different from Pratyabhijna?
So if you are sitting and you remember the idea or the, not the idea, but you remember the walls of Yamunotri, you remember the idols of Radha Krishna Yamunotri, then that is your memory. Here, it's not memory that triggered it. Here, what triggered it is my present experience of seeing you with the same sweatshirt as when I had seen you last. So there was an experience in present which triggered the previous experience and remembrance.
So where is that experience staying? Is it in Karana Sharira?
So that experience right now for us is in our chitta.
Okay.
Right now in the transaction, in our chitta. The experience of deep sleep state is in the Karana Sharira. So that deep sleep state experience, when we wake up, the Karana Sharira is now opening up its cards, and now we're able to see it. But in deep sleep state, it was all registering in the Karana Sharira.
So it is a continuous experience then, from the birth until now, it is a continuous experience.
Yes. Okay. So let's do the prayer and we can. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.